Everyone has a story. Everyone travels a road. Some of those roads are paved, some are gravel, some are a combination. Some are superhighways. Some of us have met with sharp turns, intersections, and delays. We travel at different speeds to different destinations. On this podcast, we talk about your road to now. Welcome to Your Road to Now. Today I sit down with Larry Gray. Welcome, Larry.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Thanks I'm doing good. Thank you for coming. Why don't you start off and give us a little bit of a rundown of who Larry Gray is? Let's start in high school.
High school. Well, okay. So I grew up in West Kelowna. We used to call it West Bank when I went to high school, so I'm dating myself. George Pringle was the grad class president, and I had originally relocated here from Port Coquitlam.
So Poco Boy.
Poco Boy, that's correct.
There you go.
Yeah. So spent my teenage years here in Kelowna, and I guess the rest is history, right?
Yeah, the rest is history. That's all we need to know. So Poco, born in Poco?
No, born in New West, St. Mary's.
New West, oh,
St.
Okay.
Mary's
nice.
Hospital, yeah. But, you know, I was living in Coquitlam the first couple of years of my life. I don't have a recollection like most people when they're 1 or 2 years old.
So West Kelowna, class president. Wow, you're the popular guy in school life.
Yeah, well, considering I relocated there in grade 10, I guess, yeah, I got pretty popular pretty fast. But a little bit of an entertainer in high school. Mr. Wakefield, he didn't like me too much. But, you know, he hit me with
So you're the class clown kind of thing? Or?
No, I was the, like, what's the intelligent version of a clown?
Sarcastic?
Yeah, let's go with that. Sarcastic clown, yeah. Yeah.
Troublemaker.
Troublemaker, sure. Yeah, I spent some time in the principal's office. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, what are some of the biggest memories from back there in those West Kelowna days when you were a youngster? And what year was that when we're talking about?
Yeah, so I
grad class of?
Yeah, grad class of 1983. So, I moved to West Bank in 1980, like I said, from the coast. And a lot of fond memories. Yeah, it was a great time to grow up. I worked at a place too while I was going to high school there called Pizza Plus, Ernie Armitage.
Yeah.
And the Armitage family had been in Kelowna a long time. Brad was the goaltender for the Kelowna Wings. So it was a happening spot to be at. I always showed up at the party. I had a case of beer. I had my pizza. I was popular. Maybe that's
probably. So what were you driving? Because my grad class was 80.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit older, but yeah. We were driving all kinds of cool cars back then. Were you a cool car driver?
I had my very first vehicle that I owned was a 1975 Dodge van.
Dodge van. Oh, so you were the cool guy.
bunch of us took that van down to the very first concert at BC Place, which was David Bowie.
Vans were a big deal.
Yeah,
David Bowie. Was it all done up inside, or was it pretty basic?
Yeah, I had it all done up. Yeah,
nice.
You bet.
Crushed velour.
Shag rugs,
yeah.
A couple home speakers.
That's right.
Nice. There was an area of the back of the van I probably shouldn't talk about.
You're the guy that everybody's, hey, Larry's here. Let's get this party started.
Well, there was actually, I used to play the music at we used to have the pit parties, like probably when you were like 1980, you know, get up in the mountains there and put on some Journey.
Lots of classic cars back there for me. I drove all the Camaros and Chargers and Super Bs and all that stuff. I'm sure that's kind of what you grew up with too. A lot of friends were probably driving those wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays they're worth a lot of money, but back then you could buy them for like $800.
Yeah, like I had a 1972 Dodge Duster that was all done up. I wish I would have kept that. My buddy had a 69 Camaro.
Yeah,
we had a lot of great cars.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. Cars were a big deal back then
for
young boys for sure.
Yeah, well, you would bring it into town and you would take it cruising. So you'd go down Abbott and down Bernard. Get back on the highway, then wasn't a very big road. It was called Harvey, and then you just do the loop again.
And Kelowna was happening, so was Penticton. You had, like, Regatta was a big deal back then, and we don't have that. Because I think there was more for young people back in that time than there is now, kind of thing. Like the cruising and all that kind of stuff was a big deal. Did you ever go down to Spokane to the Autoboat Speed Show?
Never did that. No, and that's not because I couldn't get across the border, Jim.
They had a really cool show down there. You'd go down there. I think there was about on Riverside, if you've ever been to Spokane. They had 4 lanes there, and it was just a moving kind of like classic car, kind of like, it wasn't classics back then, but just kind of like hot cars and a moving party. You barely moved. It took you about an hour to get like 10 blocks. Because it's just young people at the speed show, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, cool. The 80s were great. I think there was a lot of opportunity in this town. I mean, I was going to high school, had a great job. I was making good money. I was getting decent grades in high school, and I did graduate, which was awesome. I mean, when you're the grad class president, you should graduate.
That's right. You should finish it.
And then I started right after that. I got a job at the family radio station at 1150 CKIQ. So I was kind of what they called a backdoor kind of broadcaster. And I started at the station working the board for like what we used to have talk shows and stuff on the weekends. And then worked my way up. And I worked in the news department. I worked in sales. I was on air.
So how many stations were here? Because that was the one out by Canadian Tire.
Correct. Yeah.
And how many stations were in town at that
time? And there was OV then.
Right.
And that was it. I mean,
they just had the single dial back then, just the AM dial?
Yeah, there was Power. I think Power 104, I'm wrong. I think OV had the FM station. Mm. We didn't have an FM license yet. And that was way before sort of the Jim Days and Silk and all that kind of stuff too, right? So, yeah.
Awesome. And then after the radio, where'd you go? Like after, how long were you there?
Well, I worked there for almost 2 years, and then I made a move down to Vancouver, back to Vancouver, and I worked during Expo. So I worked in some of the rock rooms down there, DJed in clubs and stuff like that. And then I came back to Kelowna after Expo was over, and I did a stint in Lethbridge, worked at a radio station there. And then I came back to Kelowna and started working at Tramps Look Club with Michael Jay and the other crew.
So you were spinning in there, or what?
When I worked at Tramps, yes, I was DJing, yeah. So I was spinning records. And
so you were doing stuff that's just now, like, huge. Like, if you're the wrong time, wrong place, you'd be making $1 million a night.
No kidding. Yeah, like some of these young guys now, I mean, with the talent, you know, we were using old, they were called 1600 and 1200 turntables and getting the beats to match on those. And, I mean, now everything's computerized. So
Do. They got these big shows. The guys are actually headlining shows and stuff. It's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah,
so, and then you got married somewhere along the line?
I did. I actually, when I was doing my stint in broadcasting and working at a club on, it was on 3rd Avenue, we call it Who's on 3rd. It was a great spot in Lethbridge, and that's where I met my wife, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we came back to Kelowna, and her and I got married in 1991.
Nice. I think I had my first, I mean, I had Kimberly, not my first, but Kimberly was born in 1991. Mm. So, you guys settled down in Kelowna then?
Yeah. We worked here for a while, and then we ended up moving to the coast again. Tracy worked in the wine industry, so when she first moved out here, she worked at the original Mission Hills when Anthony Von Mandel bought it. Back then, we called him Tony. But and then she worked for Cascadia Brands. Ian Tossesen hired her. Right. She ran Granville Island Brewing for most of the 90s.
So lots of wine history. Then you guys opened your own store.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, we had a store that was opened. It was my wife's business, and she opened it. I think it was a real tough time for us, too. It was right after the fires. It was like 2003, so the town was, at that time, was really, really slow. And, Discover Wines.
A beautiful story. I used to go in there.
Yeah. Well, now I can say it was right beside the old Zellers and right beside the old Target, right? I mean, when the Target store came in, we were like, yahoo. That didn't last very long, did it?
Target did not last very long. What the heck were they thinking? Like, you went in there, half the aisles or shelves were bare all the time. Just like, that was kind of like a half afterthought for them.
Yeah. Well, I was in, when that sort of happened, I mean, you know, with all the changes that's happened, and I'm no expert in it, but all the changes have happened in retail. One of my companies that I just recently lost the contract actually to market their products in 2017 was 5-Eleven Tactical. So, I mean, everything's sold online now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they spent, I forget the number I heard, it was billions of dollars to try to expand into Canada.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the same targets we're used to seeing when we travel in the U.S. So
no, it was half empty off. Right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And they never ever did and just kind of went downhill from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So when did Tracy decide that she wanted to run for office, and what was your kind of role in that?
Right. So Tracy Gray is the current member of parliament for Kelowna Lake Country, and she's sort of got interested in politics, I'd say, just after the closing of Discover Wines. We sold the licenses. We had a store also in Kamloops, and we sold the licenses to the Jimmy Patterson Group, Savon, when they're bringing wine and BQA wines into
the stores,
their stores. And it was sort of like, well, what are you going to do next? And, you know, she kind of looked at it and said, well, maybe I should run for city council. And there was a lot of people, that was 2014, there was a lot of people wanted to run. Mm-hmm. So she sort of kind of thought about it. And then, halfway through 2013, she met with some folks. And, you know, the best way to run for city council in this town is to go to some meetings for like mm-hmm. a year and spend your time, meet with the current councilors, meet with people who are head of the different departments of the city, and get an understanding of what the role is, right? Like, it's not fighting crime and homelessness. Mm-hmm. I mean, city council is, a lot of stuff is bylaws, like making mm-hmm. sure things are built in the right places of the city.
And she has some lineage there, though.
She spent 4 years on city council, yeah. And then, you know, in politics, it's always about timing. Yeah. Opportunity knocks, Jim, and it was kind of like, well, where do you go next? I mean, had she ran again for city council, I think she would have been very, very, very successful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are kind of looking at her and saying, well, you know, there's this opportunity at the federal level. And a lot of people started to ask her to look at it seriously. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she did the right thing. She didn't run again for city council. She stepped back and she started door knocking and started mm-hmm. talking to the people in the community and getting support.
Politics is a little bit of the family business, though.
It is. It's always been a family business. It's funny. Of course, four-term mayor Walter Gray would be uncle. Yeah. And, you know, I've got lots of cousins in this town. And the very first campaign that I worked on, my dad and I were putting out signs in West Bank for Bill Bennett at mm-hmm. the time. Yeah. And he was the premier of the province. And I was involved in every one of his campaigns. And I worked on Steve Thompson's nomination when he became an MLA. I worked with Al Horning. I worked with Norm Letnick. You know, I was a leadership leader for Christy Clark when she made her move to become leader of the BC Liberals. So lots of experience. It is a family business. I think my nickname is, they sort of call me the kitchen cabinet. So my son Daniel and I are the kitchen cabinet, you know, and the role is, it's important that family be very supportive of the candidates or when they become mm-hmm. politicians. And then yeah. you've got to play, you know, it's a different role for me now too, because I mm-hmm. got to be backroom like you.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, no, we have for yeah, sure. We're the guys that hold the coats yeah. at the meetings,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, so. I mean, you got the powerful wife too, so, that's right. you know.
You go to a networking event and she hands you your coat and the purse and says, I'll see you in a couple hours.
That's why I said to you a couple months ago, Jim, I said, you and I need to start a spouses association.
Right. We can wait in the car together, right?
Yeah, we can get in our hot cars. Like, you got a hot car right, now, yeah, don't you? What yeah, do you got for
yeah,
a car now?
I got some car, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen some pictures of it. I think it's worth a lot more than my car. I have a 1965 Mustang that I restored.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we drove that around in some parades over the last yeah. couple of years.
Is that a stock or is that...
It's stock. See, my dad was big and he passed away a few years ago. That would be Walter's brother, Chick Gray. And he was really big into vintage cars. So the thing with him is, you know, you can't really, you know, modify them too much, right? Like, you got to kind of make them stock. So the only thing that's not stock on my car is the color. Mm-hmm. And then also the tires and the mags, obviously, the rims and that are...
I had a 68 Corvette convertible for a while. Well, mm-hmm. for quite a while. Dust collector. And Nikki hated it if I took it out. She hated it because it was cam. So you go to a light and it's this thumping away there. Right? So boom, 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 boom. And of course it's shaking and it's got the big scoop on it and stuff like that. And people are talking to you and that. And Nikki's like, get me out of this thing. Then you got 4 miles to the gallon. It was on super premium, whatever, and octane boost and all yeah. that stuff. And I think four import cars were running off the fumes just out of the back. They just slipped streaming behind it. But she didn't like that, so then I bought a newer one because I figured, well, that must be the problem because it's making too much noise. And then yeah. she don't like the newer one either. So
no, she didn't drive it.
No, she's not a big. It doesn't like all the attention that you get with those things. So, right. I've always been a lover of cars, and I've had quite a few. You know, drove most of those kind of classic cars, and I like the old Mustangs, Chargers, Camaros, all that stuff. It's pretty cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like Crow, right? Like shiny things.
Yeah. You like shiny things too. Hey, look, Jim. There's a purple squirrel in the wall.
That's right.
Oh, shiny. Quick, catch it.
Boys like cars, I think. So.
Yeah. So are you also undiagnosed ADHD like me, or do you actually, are you on medication for it, Jim?
I think Nikki just says, you know, just leave you. I'll take care of all the finances. You just work.
Yeah, but aren't you the one that's got the degree? Aren't you the one, the accounting degree?
Yeah, I do have that, yeah.
Good. You can help me with some of my CRA problems I got right now, Jim. That's actually why I'm actually here.
Oh, nice.
I wanted to talk to you about that and get some free advice.
Free advice, that's what it's worth, free advice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, thanks.
So what is the, like, the kind of the role, the expectation from you for, you know, obviously Tracy's busy, busy, busy. So is she in Ottawa quite a bit, or?
Yeah, she is. I mean, it's, it changes your family dynamics. I mean, you know, I've always embraced change. My life has been about change.
Like, you've had a few jobs for sure.
Yeah, and I'm a sales and marketing professional. Professional. But, you know, it's like, yeah, I mean, it changes a lot. It's you know, it's a demanding job for her, and mm-hmm. she's traveling a lot, and she's in opposition, so the parties really look to her to take on some important files, and back and forth. I don't go out a lot, you mm-hmm. know. Some spouses are out there all the time, yeah. but I'm not like Rona Ambrose's JP. I didn't ride a bull rider for my career and retired. I've still got a lot on the go, so. Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting time. I went out in January for just a little bit, and we set up an apartment for her because she was staying in hotels and Airbnbs, and that just creates a whole bunch of stress. And what happens is the MPs that are in BC, parts of Alberta, or far Atlantic Canada, it takes you all day to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be in the riding. You want to go to events. This weekend, she was home for 30 hours, right? And mm-hmm. we did about probably a half dozen events while we were here.
You know, busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, they have a party whip that keeps her in line. I have my own whip. There is actually a spouses association
nice.
For the Conservative Party, and the other parties have them too. And so I'm around a lot of other spouses, you know, male and female. And we spend a lot of time just kind of, hey, how do you do things? Like, I learned a new word. Jim, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Flexible.
Flexible. You have to be flexible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because there's a lot of moving parts and moving pieces.
So you kind of grew up in here, back and forth a little bit. What is it that you love about Kelowna?
Oh, it's, you know, it is a Four Seasons playground. When I was younger, I did ski patrol up at Big White, and I've played a lot of sports, you know, in this town, not professionally. The Kelowna Rockets never did, mm-hmm. you know. Let me play hockey.
They never put you on. Put me in, coach.
I think I was too old by then. But, you know, there's some about the Okanagan. I mean, my family has been based here since 1948. And the town has grown a lot since, you know, like when you look at the 80s, it was a small town. People like to mm-hmm. say it's still a small town. But I like it here because you get a little bit of everything. You know, there's great golf, although I'm too busy. I rarely golf. Hmm. I'm one of those guys that doesn't get out on the lake enough. But I have a desire to be out there, Jim. Yeah. Have you got a boat too?
I had a boat for about, I don't know, 12 years. Sold it. Never used it enough. It's an expensive thing to have if you don't use it, right?
Yeah, same problem. So, and with the international airport, the work that everybody's done here, I mean, you can get pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, because I remember 1980, we used to hang out in Penticton more so, because I was up in Midway there.
Right.
And so Penticton was the place to be.
Yeah.
And then Walter did a lot of great work in the connector and the airport. And
yeah.
And then,
yeah, well, there was some great mayors. I don't think
the university and the college and then the hospital and that draw a lot of people here, right?
Yeah, he was an alderman before they called it a counselor. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot has changed in this town, and it's still a great town. I still think it's a great, safe place to live and raise your kids. And, you know,
small town, big city amenities.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, nowadays, like in my career, I've always traveled, right? So the adjustment of, you know, my wife going back and forth from Ottawa, we're kind of used to it. So you just, you know, you make mm-hmm. things work, right?
Mm-hmm. What is it that you miss from your younger days here?
The regattas.
Regattas.
Yeah, the regattas in this town, that was like, you know, it was busy. It was fun. You know, there was a lot happening back then. And I miss some of my friendships that I had too, mm-hmm. you know, growing up in this town too.
We had Flintstone Village, the water slides, old McDonald's farm.
Oh, I was there like when the water slides opened, right? Yeah, yeah. And I found a picture online the other day of that, the tube, that tube ride. We used to, you can buy the season's pass there.
There was a lot of tourist stuff back then in the day, right? And that's all gone mostly. It's mostly wineries and...
Well, everybody worked at, you know, the plant. You look at how many people worked at Western Star and then all the businesses that were sort of around it.
Manufacturing, now we lost Tolko too. So Tolko and Western Star, two big manufacturing kind of outfits here. That's kind of a shame to lose both of them.
Yeah.
So, Kelowna's growing up though, if you look out the window here. What do you think of that?
Well, I think I need to start figuring out how all the money you're making, Jim, because this is a nice view. And
that's actually, not my stuff out there, though.
No, I get that. I get that. But, I mean, even this podcast room, this would be a good office for Larry Gray. I could just move in here and start. I don't know. What would I have to do?
You could count all something. The buildings there. You could count all the rooms over there.
Well, once I've done that, I might want to find something else to do. But, yeah, I mean, it's another great view. It's funny. We've got some sunshine on the left and some rain in the middle and some sunshine on
you know,
the right.
The weather in Kelowna is just amazing, right? You look down here, and this is kind of an epic view of this because we're sitting right in the center of Kelowna, really, and we're looking down the lake, and it's just amazing. We do have webcams on the roof, so you can take it in any time.
I'll just go up on the roof and adjust the cameras for you. There's another job I could
there
do.
There you go. There are live streams on both sides, east and southwest, so that's kind of cool. Like, I do think that we're pretty lucky to have such an amazing view, like in Kelowna, like there's lots of great views. Is there something you like to do in Kelowna? Like, is there something like when you got some free time, you and Tracy, is other than going to wineries?
Yeah, because we were.
Or is she always working? Yeah. Just like she's like.
You know, being a politician these days, it's not easy. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a job that, you know, maybe had some prestige back in the day, but now it's really hard work. So when we're home, sometimes just resting's a good thing. You know, we have been seeing hiking around some of the trails here and stuff. I'm heavily involved in the Silver Lake Forest Education Center in Peachland. So we spend a lot of time up there, you know, doing things. There's canoeing up there and hiking around, trying to figure out which trees are which, you know. That's always a fun job, right? Mm-hmm. And then my son Daniel, he's 20 now, and he's going to college and lives in our basement suite, and he's involved in a lot of different things too. So I end up chasing him around town half the time too also.
So what scares you right now in the world? Like what's got you kind of scared?
Oh, that is a good question. There's a lot of issues that we have on the planet and in our country. I think probably the number one, you know, there's a lot of things that guys like you and I are just never going to be able to solve. But, you know, looking at Canada as a whole, I think I'm really concerned about, you know, because we are a country of natural resources, and I'm really concerned about that we're not taking advantage of that and creating employment. I mean, I grew up, you know, in the 80s. That was the most excessive decade that we had.
We have probably one of the richest resource nations in the world. And I think the sentiment out there is that we should be embarrassed about that. And I think we need to responsibly manage those things, because logging, mining, and those things, and even farming and fishing built this country. And if we go look at the GDP and we go look at the contributors to our GDP, and you're going to find a lot of very familiar names, tech, Falcon Bridge, tons of names that are actually built this country. And then, you know, they've been kind of like shunned and stuff like that. I think, you know, we have so much that we could, if we work it responsibly, we could give a lot of back to our youth. Because right now, our country is kind of on sale to the rest of the world. And it's priced our youth out of the home housing market. So why don't we do like some countries do and just spread that wealth amongst the young and let them into some homes.
Yeah, and I mean, and
that's,
you know,
as political as we're going to get here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Jim, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, you know, I'm a conservative. I'd say you're probably a little bit more less conservative than maybe me.
Yeah, probably more down the middle of the road.
Yeah, so you're sort of a progressive, you know, and 65% of this country is progressive. You know, there's a lot of people that think we should stop everything that we're doing that's, you know, hurting our planet. And my concern as a Canadian is, you know, I grew up in a free enterprise environment, and you've got to get out and earn your own keep, and you've got to get your own job. So it's unfortunate that houses have gotten out of price for this generation, but even in my case, the very first house that I bought, I did borrow $5,000 from my dad. So, you know, and I paid him back. So nowadays, I guess you'd have to borrow $50,000.
Hey, I'm all for giving first-time homebuyers $50,000 right out of the gate.
Yeah, but where does it come from, though, Jim? Like, where do we get all this money?
That's what I'm
saying. Out of the resources that, you know, and today as we're doing this podcast, the tech folks there in Alberta, and the media is already reporting that it's a dead deal and all that. If you look closely, what's happening is tech's just kind of shelving it for a little while. What they're saying is, you know what,
In this environment, we can't do it.
Well, and plus they didn't want the current government to cancel it on Wednesday, because the current government most likely was going to just come out and cancel the whole project. Mm-hmm. They've been working on that project since 2008. Mm-hmm. So they've just shelved it for a little while. Things.
Well, yeah, we don't want to get too political, but yeah. What's got you excited? What gets you up in the morning is like, yes, this is what we're doing.
Well, I'm turning 55 this year.
Oh, awesome.
So that's got me pretty excited. And so
double nickels.
Yeah, and I've come to the realization that, you know, I'm entering, like, you know, most men, that third sort of last part of my life. Like, yeah. So it's sort of a time
to buy a Porsche.
Yeah. Is that what you did? Yeah, yeah. So it's sort of like, you know, so what do I want to be next, right? And I've got a couple of businesses, one that I'm winding down that I meant about the tactical clothing. Mm. And then I also have my finance company. So I'm doing heavy equipment finance. And then I have a oil, gas, and services company in Edson, Alberta that employs five people.
Right.
So I'm kind of thinking, well, what do I want to do next? And I'm looking at sales and marketing opportunities. And I'd like to seriously get involved in something that would be a lot of fun. So I'm thinking about that. That gets me excited in the morning because there's so much opportunity. And any businesses that I've started in the past, I've always liked to be around young people because there's just so much.
Lots of energy.
Energy and great ideas, and they're starving, they're hungry, right?
Yeah.
The old saying is you don't go and try and start a business with a guy that's already got $10 million because 9 times out of 10, the old Pareto's Law 80-20 rule, they don't want to do anything.
Yeah,
but you go talk to a young guy, same skill sets, and they want to jump.
Yeah. What advice would you go back in time and tell your 20-year-old you?
Oh, my son, 20?
No, yourself. What would you go back and say, hey?
Oh, I'd say buy some Apple stock for sure.
Buy some Apple stock.
Yeah, I'd definitely say that. I think it's, you know, I chased a lot of carrots in my youth.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as I got into my 30s and 40s, I learned the sort of the steady, you know, like just...
Stay at it.
Just stay at it. And just the other day, I was going cleaning out my office, right? And I was going through, you remember one of those old card things that you had with all the plastic things you'd put your cards, all your business cards in there? Yeah. And it's all these people from Cologne, and I haven't used it because, you know, once the iPhones came out, it was like, you didn't need it.
Yeah.
But I found it in a box and started looking through it, and it drove it home again because there's tons of folks that I had done business with over the years here in Cologne over the last 35 years. Some of them are still in those same careers. Hopefully they're happy, but you know, a bunch of them have retired now and whatever. And it, just that common theme of a lot of these folks were successful in real estate or business or whatever for that simple reason. They just kept doing what was important to them. And that's what I tell myself. I'd say, hey, get away from that carrot. It's a bad carrot.
Yeah, I know for sure when you stick to something and you put the work and the effort in, lots of times good stuff happens. Not always, right? But I think that if you find something you're passionate about, it usually will work out for you. Keep your foot on the accelerator and push forward.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, no politics, right? We've talked politics a few times. Politics is a passion that I have, too, and I'm not afraid to say it. I mean, politics is important, just like religion or community.
Everything,
Everything. It's all
Well, I'd say your family's very successful in politics, right? So you just have to look at it. And some guys play a supporting role. And that's, you know, and it's same for me most of the time. Like, I played a supporting role. And I'm okay with that.
Right? Yeah, I don't like to read. I'm a visual guy like you. I mean, politicians got to read all this stuff.
Oh, and they give you that stack and just like, here, read this by the morning. Just like, okay.
So, you know, it's funny. I'm a political nerd. So what happens is I know a lot of folks that are very successful in politics. And I've got their cell numbers. I can text them. I can say, hey, what do you think about this? It just like, you know, like I was, you know, like that, some of the mentors in our community, you know, just reaching out to them and seeing what they're working on, what they're doing. I think it's important we do that.
Let's play a little quickfire.
Okay. Uh-oh. What show is that from?
Quickfire? I have no idea.
Wait, we just created on that's your, right. on your podcast. Right.
We're the only ones that have ever done this.
I like being first. Let's do it. Let's do some quickfire.
Okay, somebody might argue with us, but hey, we'll call it something else. Quickie fire or something. Quickie fire. No, we'll just go there. Favorite place to dine?
Favorite in place Kelowna. To dine in.
Or West Kelowna. The Okanagan.
Yeah, in Kelowna. I'm not going to answer that question. You know what? You know how much trouble I'm going to get?
Oh, okay, let's go. Cheeseburger. Do you like cheeseburgers?
I don't eat cheeseburgers anymore. I'm trying to get this machine of mine back into shape. Okay, I'll say it because Brad Atwood needs a good plug. I do love going down to Earl's.
Earl's has got a great view.
Yeah.
No, there's in Kelowna, there's so many great places for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like wine? Obviously.
Yeah.
Is there a, not necessarily a winer, but a varietal that you like? Is there something that you, when you drink wine?
Yeah, I'm a Merlot guy.
Yeah? Yeah. Why is that? Just because?
It's beefy and it's doesn't give me gout.
There you go. Is there a few wineries that you like to partake in, or?
No, I'm, you know, here. Back in the day, yeah, we were really immersed in that, but there's just so many great choices here, and I do, you know, I'm going to get in trouble from the wife, but, you know, I just don't drink BC wines. I used to all the time. We do. I have been seen to, you know, have a Chilean or Australian wine or Italian, yeah. French, yeah.
So I started my drinking career off as a 16-year-old with the Kelowna wines.
You call it a career?
That's right. I think it ended right about then, too.
People it was a like short to say career. About me, I'm just a little bit of a partier, but I'm going to use that line. It's a career.
I drank a bottle of Kelowna wines. They used to sell it in the one-gallon jugs, right? Cherry Jack.
Baby Duck, wasn't it?
No, Cherry Jack. Oh, Cherry it was Jack. Cherry Jack, 1 gallon. Any of the old... what's that, the hillbilly jug? You don't, and yeah.
Yeah.
Played a drinking game and I puked for, I think, 3-4 days.
And you haven't drank since, right?
Not much.
Yeah, exactly. No, I hear you.
Never Cherry Jack again, I tell you that
yeah,
for nothing.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I mean, they kind of grew up and they're just a really cool brand now, but you know, everybody kind of had different starts, right?
Yeah.
And you know, they were selling, you know, wine by the jug in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
So let me do a quick fire question sure. for you. Okay, so what was your favorite job? What's the best job you did?
Favorite job? I think it's this job. I love yeah? this. I love what I do.
Yeah, you got a pretty
I don't
good
think day. I work. I just love what I do.
Well, that's the rumor around town.
That I don't work?
That you don't work and Nikki does all the work.
Oh, right? I agree.
Somebody said to me the other day, like, geez, you don't have to work anymore. And I said, well, you haven't seen the deductions that Revenue Canada takes off those big paychecks.
Oh, yeah, I like what I do. And you know, I think everything is a little bit different. I've done lots too. I was a silver and ceramics technician and we started out up north.
Right.
Dishwasher. I know that's pretty. Yeah. I did roofing. I did construction. I did oil rig stuff. I was a mine site controller. It was all kinds of different things, you know, an accountant for a while and still am an accountant, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of different things.
We got lots to count.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I forgot. This is your podcast.
Oh, it's my podcast.
He was starting to sweat and go red, everybody.
That's right. Like, what are we talking about again?
Quick fire.
Favorite car? Growing up or now or whatever? What
yeah,
do you like?
I would say 1965 Mustang is what
that's
I got.
What you
got.
Just
something about that car.
Color is
it? It's like a kind of like a blue. It's I tweaked it a little bit from the factory, and I love driving that car in the summer. I actually use it as my commuting vehicle. Wow. When I'm driving around and I park the I've got a Nissan Titan too, which I enjoy, and I park that and cruise around in that.
My buddy had a 65 Mustang with a, I think it was a 426 or not, 428 I think is the Ford, right?
Well, and back then they were 289s.
So. No, he put a big block in it.
Yeah, okay.
And cut to tunnel it out and a whole bunch of different things. We could pull the front wheels off the ground.
Perfect.
Yeah. Ladder bars and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Any car you could have in the world, though? Like, if you just like, they're giving them away?
Well, I guess now I should say it would be like a electric car hybrid.
Oh, there you go. Just think politically, the little Leaf or something like that.
I just slipped that in there.
Favorite place to kind of like, what's your activity?
Well, I like to ski. So when I was a kid, I ski patrolled at Big White. So I like to get up there. I spend a lot of time on self-development, so I love to read a lot of books, and I've passed that gift on to my son. You know, most of his generation are buying all these video games at the game store there, and he had that phase for a little while, but now he's really into books. So I have quite a collection of different books that I like to. So I spend a lot of time. Delving into, you know, psychology, sociology, sales, marketing.
Do you have a mentor or somebody you like to read? Is there a favorite book that you suggest somebody?
I've really been the last couple of years really been following Jordan Peterson.
Okay.
And I know he's going through some personal stuff right now. I had heard online, but he's an incredible human being and a trained psychologist too, right? So. I've always been, you know, I might be like you a little bit. I do like watching people and seeing what people do and how they react and where, you know, what they're thinking, what's important to them. And when I'm communicating with people, I do ask a lot of questions, right? Trying trying to get to know a person, sales skills, right? Yeah. When we're young in sales, I mean, that's like, you can't sell anything to anybody unless they like you.
You got to be likable, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. Is there anything that you'd like to add? Anything you want to share with anybody? Anything you want to kind of cough up or
testing 1, 2, 3?
Anything you want to admit to?
No. No, I'm good on that one, Jim. Thanks. Yeah.
Well, I thank you for sharing your road to now. It was fun. It was actually a lot of fun. So
yeah,
it's cool. We'll do it again.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
Bye now.
Bye now.
If you'd like to be part of this podcast, we'd love to share your story and your road to now.